This is the Rich Eisen Show.
How about the
live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Sonar's been intercepted. Picked off by Julian Love at the 40. The Jets blocked the punt.
Picked off at the 20-yard line. Intercepted by the Bills.
Touchdown, Devontae Smith.
The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, two-time Super Bowl champion Chris Long. NFL Network analyst Steve Mariucci. Still to come, Broncos quarterback Russell Wilson.
Broncos country. Let's rock.
And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air right here on the Roku channel, channel 210. If you missed any of the first 2 hours that featured a great chat with Chris Long in his usual Monday spot and a wonderful visit, as always, in studio when Steve Mariucci stops by, an overreaction Monday and phone calls and my reaction to what's going on in Green Bay, as well as everything in the Bills Chiefs neighborhood and the Dallas Philadelphia neighborhood from last night. Stay tuned right where you are, because as soon as hour number three is over on channel 210, we re-air and the first 2 hours show up, and then the third hour does again. And I literally could keep on and on talking about how we re-air, but there is an entire full third hour to get to, and that includes Russell Wilson, who's playing football tonight just up the road in SoFi Stadium in a big game for the 2-3 Denver Broncos and the 3-2 Los Angeles Chargers. We talked to Brandon Staley last week. We talked to Russell Wilson in just a few minutes' time. Don't miss it. Great conversation coming up right here on the program. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the show. Christopher, good to see you over there.
Good to see you, Rich. What's
DJ
up?
Mikey D is in D's Nuts. Good to see you over there.
Good morning.
TJ Jefferson, good to see you where you are. Good to see you.
Still smelling like strawberry pound cake over here because of this candle.
It sounds good. Appreciate the update.
Delicious.
Appreciate the update on that. All right, folks. As you can tell, I'm wearing green today.
On purpose?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. This wasn't by accident, Chris. Mm-hmm.
It's the color of the Bay where my green clad team went in yesterday and did something that is a sight for very, very sore, kicked in the teeth by football God's eyes. The New York Jets went in and won in Lambeau Field for the first time since Zach Wilson was 7 years old. Now, I understand. I understand he was just 10 of 18 for 110 yards passing. I understand that.
Sometimes I understand that
the scheduling gods are the ones who could have helped make that length of time possible, because it's not like the Jets go into Lambeau Field and play him every year. I understand that. But it's been a long time for the Jets to actually go into such hallowed ground inhabited by the ghosts of goats, as well as an actual one in Aaron Rodgers, and to go in there and not only win, buddy, absolutely punk him, hit him, and hit him hard, and hit him often, and then hit him harder, and then when they're trying to come back, make sure that they don't. I don't know what to make of it, other than the fact of sit back and actually enjoy it. I'm not going to sit here and go, well, what if the trapdoor opens up? What if this happens? What if that happens? I'm not going to do it anymore. You know why? Because I'm taking the lead from these Jets. I'm taking the lead from these kids. And they're kids, 21, 22, 23. They don't know from my foibles. They don't know from my decades of fetal positions. They don't get it. They don't know it. So why do I need to put my crap on them? It's kind of like parenting. Let the kids do it. I'll sit back and maybe learn a thing or two from the youngins. I'll learn from them. They're not afraid of anybody. They're afraid of no one. And sure, they may eventually get beat by the Bills and bad. And Bill's coming to town. And we know he loves to torment the Jets. And he loves to do it when we think we've got the upper hand. They're coming in with Bailey Zappi or Mac Jones, fresh back from a quarterback controversy.
Matt Tien.
We think we got the upper hand. Well, here comes Bill to spin a little magic on Zach Wilson and show Robert Saleh a thing or two, just like he did Stefanski yesterday. I don't care. I'm not going to worry about it anymore. I'm just going to sit back and actually enjoy the ride. How about that? We're an enjoyable ride. Yeah. It's an enjoyable ride. That was great from start to finish. And even when I started slipping back into my old habits, like Robert Saleh trying a 50-some-odd yard field goal right before halftime with Greg Zuerlein, who on brand missed one. And I'm sitting here thinking, great, you hand it back to Aaron Rodgers with timeouts left. And sure enough, he gets that field goal right before the half to tie the game. And I started slipping back in all that. So I'm like, no, don't worry about it. You got the better team. What? Yeah, you get the better team. So that's my counsel to Jet fans who might feel the same way I do. Don't look for what's next and how's it going to get ruined and who's going to get hurt. Don't do it. I'm not. Enjoy the ride. Because they're young and they're brash and they're putting cheese heads on their head when they win.
Too much sauce.
Yeah, sauce is just too much putting sauce. It on them.
Too much
sauce. Yeah, sauce shows up on a hallowed turf of Lambeau Field putting a cheese head on and Alan Lazard knocks it off, running off the field. Yeah, the Jets are coming to your house and winning in front of you.
Taking your
not
cheese.
Used to that. I'm not used to it.
Can you dig it?
Yes, I can.
Can you
dig it? I can. I can. And who's next? Let's ride. Hey, Denver is coming off a short week next week. Jets are going into Denver. Whatever offensive woes they might fix tonight, they better keep it up. And then New England and Buffalo, back-to-back at home. Let's see what happens then. Let's see what happens then. Those are the pieces of turf you need to hold like they did against Miami. Because every single division game they got left is on the road on the back end of their bye. Need to hold this. Need to hold turf here. And let's just say they go into Denver and win and then beat New England. And they're on a winning streak when Buffalo comes to town.
Ooh,
I'll take my chances. Even if they lose before that, I'm still going to enjoy it. Because they're young. And they don't know from my mental problems. And they got coaches who know how to draw it up. Again, look at this play. They pulled on the Packers. Breece Hall is hiding right behind a right tackle and a tight end, and Michael Carter's in the backfield, and Zach fakes it to him and then inside hands off to Breece Hall. The Packers' defense looked like they were in a fire drill. They had no idea where to go, and Hall ran for a touchdown right in their face. Loved it. Way to go. Keep it up. Well, I'm on the subject matter. I'll just say this. He's been on the show, and I appreciate him calling in, but I'll say it. I'm just going to say it. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm saying stuff with my chest. I promoted it, but I got to tell you, man, punking James Franklin in front of the nation is really great.
Come on,
it's great, man. It's just great. I understand Penn State, you have pride for your school. Why not? Okay, and James Franklin is a guy that you put a lot of eggs in his basket. A lot of eggs in his basket. And Penn State each year wants to get in this whole Michigan-Ohio State thing. Want to, you know, elbow your way in, just kind of say, hey, we're here too. We're here too. Ran it right down the throats. 400-plus yards running. And I know all you Wolverine fans out there are wondering, oh, when's J.J. McCarthy going to take the hands off of 10-2 and the foot on the brake and just let the kid roll down the window with one arm out and just ride the car. Just start throwing it down the field. You don't have to. Until you must. God, it was great. That was just great. Especially when Penn State, you know, starts believing they got that touchdown off of a pick off of somebody's helmet after a keeper, a quarterback keeper, ran it in the end zone.
Why do you almost keep staring at me when you're
because
saying
because you because you're the Penn State fan here.
No, but I mean I
and
saw
I'm
it.
Feeling it. You like it when I say stuff with my chest.
Yeah,
here
not,
I am showing up here,
not directed towards
stuff,
me,
talking stuff that is definitely going to anger some people in the fan base, and I get it.
Yeah, you're angering me.
It's great, and I'll just say this too while I'm talking with my chest.
Say it loud.
I'm also wearing green today for another reason.
Color of money?
Wearing green today because Michigan's going to take their time on their bye week, come back, and show Michigan State what it's all about. Oh, boy. It's going to be ugly. If I'm a Spartan fan right now, I am taking cover. Maybe you should take 2 weeks off. Come back the Sunday after that game. Oh, yeah.
Somebody take Rich's checkbook, please.
Oh, yeah. Oh, right. Come. It's coming.
He's got the permanent checks now, TJ.
And it's not going to stop. It's coming, and it won't stop. It's going to rain. It's going to be a very hard rain in Ann Arbor that day, even if it's one of those 50-degree fall Saturdays with the sun shining down with a maize orb and a blue sky. It's going to be great. Oh, I can't wait for it. I might not sleep between now and then.
I hope you do.
2 weeks.
Last year was the Mel Tucker parade. It was the Mel Tucker parade. Oh, let's sign him to a long-term deal and pay him all that money because he's fixed Michigan State football and Michigan State with Kenny Walker, who had, by the way, a terrific game for Seattle yesterday, showing exactly the sort of stuff that he did by putting it on Michigan, and Michigan State wins, and everybody talks about how great Michigan State is. Well, oh, honestly, Chris, I might need some sort of way to try to get to sleep. I might have to get off of caffeine for the next 2 weeks just to make sure I can sleep at night.
NyQuil will help you get your Z's.
I can't wait.
Hey, Rich, you know what? Something else that...
I can't wait.
What you just said just made me kind of realize something. I realized it last week.
What's that?
You know, NBA, we're all talking about the punch that everybody heard, right?
Yeah.
Draymond, Jordan Poole. One thing that was never brought up is what really caused that.
What was that?
The Michigan-Michigan State rivalry.
Oh, maybe that's what
never
it was.
Never thought about that, did we?
Maybe that's
Draymond
what it was.
Draymond is a Spartan. Yeah. Jordan is a Wolverine.
Well, if that...
I think that we got to put that into consideration now.
If that's it, then the Draymond punch of Jordan Poole was last year's Michigan State win over Michigan. And the upcoming game that Michigan has hosting Michigan State, which is clearly down and out this year, the version of that, in your analogy, is Jordan Poole's four-year $140 million contract extension that he signed.
Yeah, buddy.
Which probably had about 15 or 20 extra million on there for taking that joint.
There's a lot of aloe to rub on the aches and pains in that.
Just saying, we never took that into consideration. Yeah. That might be why they had beef.
Yes. I don't know what the beef's about. All I know is what the beef's about between Michigan and Michigan State. And that's kind of, again, I know I'm supposed to talk about what happened this weekend.
Rich, you can talk about whatever you want.
I just did about what happened with Michigan and Penn State.
It's your show.
Eisenpalooza.
Saying it with my chest. That's my coach. Michigan 7-0 in back-to-back seasons for the first time since Nixon was president. It's been a while.
Wow. Man.
Been a while. Man.
Again, I am not the crook.
Again, I know you drink teas and stuff like that. Is there anything that to help you go to sleep? Is there like a tea to help you go to sleep?
Yeah, there's some nighttime stuff.
Okay, you might have to tell that to me because, again, I'm just going to be staring at the ceiling thinking about two Saturdays from now.
There's some stuff I could give you to keep you in.
Very good.
No line yet on that game 2 weeks out.
Now that I've said all this, now that I've said a lot with my chest, let me check myself here.
Before you wreck yourself.
Let me check myself here. I need to check myself. I need to check myself, and I will. Game 5 between the Yankees and the Guardians tonight.
Big one.
Rock-a-bye, baby.
I'm very, very nervous about it, but you say rock-a-bye, baby. Good point. Josh Naylor, who, by the way, helped me and my son, Coop. To a fantasy baseball title.
And now you're about to trash him.
Well, he already did his business.
He takes Garrett Cole yard last night to make it a 3-2 game, and he's fired up.
As he should be.
He's fired up against his hated rival Yankees, I guess. But apparently he calls all the pitchers that he homers off of his sons.
Yeah.
Oh, is that a thing? Okay. Yeah.
But he's just barking at Cole as he's running around the bases.
He's yelling at his dugout.
A couple times he looked at Cole.
Yeah. Well, because he's in his eye view.
He's looking, whatever.
There was definitely in direction of Garrett Cole. Look it over. He is yelling at his teammates, but he's also yelling at Cole. He's also yelling at Cole that, you know, he's his he's his daddy and Cole is his son. And he's like, honestly, there's Cadillacing and then there's that. Like, this is a whole different thing. Like, the entirety of every touch of the base, that's how long it lasted. He touched home plate, and I have to tell you.
Very funny.
I have to tell you, I found none of it funny, and I was completely irate. Completely, I mean, beyond irate sitting here. And I thought to myself, I hope the Yankees score so many more runs that Cole has the ability to put one right where the sun doesn't shine next time he's up. Of course, that didn't materialize.
Oh, did he get hit next in his next at-bat?
No, he didn't. The Yankees actually, he was retired the rest of the game. And as we all know, there's a game five. But as, this is true, as I was just livid and irate, what crossed my text chain from you guys was UTJ Jefferson texting me Sauce Gardner on the field in Lambeau Field with a cheese head on his head.
Oh, that was the first time you saw it?
Yelling at the fans in Lambeau Field with a cheese head on after the Jets punked him. And my first thought was, I love this.
See how quickly it turns?
My first thought was, that's great. That's great. Right. I need more of that.
But a guy doing it on his home field, not great.
I'm so glad you
not great.
I'm rocking the big. I love the fact that you can admit that.
It is beyond hypocritical.
That's funny.
It's a fandom, man. It's what I've been trying to say. It's fandom. It's what fans do.
I took it, didn't like it, dished it out, loved it.
Loved it. I take the ball and I shoot it.
It's totally fandom. That's why you cannot spell fanatic without the word fan.
Exactly.
Yeah, man.
The root of fanatic is the word fan. Because if it's against me, I'm like, you know, I'm like, that is awful.
That bleep, showing it up.
I can't wait.
Kids are watching
next
this.
Time he's up. And then when my team, I got a brash kid doing it like that, I'm thinking to myself,
this is the best.
Yeah, if you don't like it, stop him.
that
literally happened last night.
We're watching the evolution of Richard Seth Eisen over the last year.
What do you
year.
Mean?
Well, I'm just saying, from the Michigan-Ohio State thing to the Notre Dame thing to the saying it with your chest to the Canton thing to now you realizing that talking some smack is great.
Enjoy it for about five more weeks because Ohio State is going to put it down.
It's entirely possible.
I hope not.
It's possible. By the way, it's entirely possible. And trust me, every single game that I'm watching with Michigan is seen through the prism of how's this going to work against Ohio State.
Yeah, of course.
All of it. Which is why, again, the Michigan fans are all like, when is McCarthy going to throw it all over the place? Because they feel like that's going to have to happen in order to beat Ohio State.
Maybe.
As if the way Michigan beat Ohio State last year is not repeatable. Which is run it down their throats and get C.J. Stroud off the spot best you can.
Yeah.
And hope he's really cold. But... yeah, I mean, at least my teams have things are happening. Things are happening.
Jets.
Yeah, that's one word to say.
Michigan.
Honestly, Yankees win a playoff game, Jets win in Lambeau Field, and Michigan just lays it on Penn State.
Man, we should have parlayed.
I feel like I'm I feel like Costanza. I feel like I should
We could have made money.
I feel like I should walk off like Costanza.
I'm saying if Corum and Edwards are going to run like that, I don't know who beat you.
I feel like it.
The way those two kids ran. Like, that was so impressive.
Corum is really good. Yeah, and so
really
Edwards
good.
Is really good, too.
And
you know, Penn State took a 17-16 lead, and Edwards just ran one in from Michigan's side of the field. But I'm feeling so great. You know what I'm going to do? I would like Costanza to go and leave and be a walk-off, but I can't because we got 40 more minutes to go. So in the commercial break between now and Russell Wilson joining us, I'm going to go all the way to State College, make a jerk store reference, and come back.
Wow. All shoving your mouth full of shrimp.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, I'm not really a shrimp guy.
Hey.
Oh, man.
No.
I also forgot, Chris.
What a sports weekend.
The evolution of Rich. Lists.
Lists.
The list. Rich, he didn't hate a list, and now he loves a list. Rankings and lists.
I don't even know who I am anymore.
I'm Dickie
Eyes, man. You're no longer Rich Eyes, and you're Dickie Eyes.
Jets are leaving, teams in shambles, pointing fingers.
What is happening in this world?
What the hell is happening?
You
just made
on.
The list. Let's take a break. Russell Wilson will ride into the Rich Eisen Show when we come back right here on a very busy Monday. It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung, and that means spring cleaning, or at least the partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's Ibotta in the Google Play or App Store and use my code EISEN. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs, because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. We're talking about Tennessee beating Alabama over the weekend.
Unless Ole Miss keeps going, and they're in the top 10 now.
That was such an amazing moment to watch.
That
was incredible.
That high shot, CBS had the blimp shot of Nealon, and people going crazy.
I was watching.
I mean, you couldn't tell where the stands ended and the field began.
I was watching, just to drop one of these names you like, I was watching that game with Wilmer. My friend Wilmer.
Yes, sir.
He's not really that into college football, so I'm kind of trying to explain to him like the meaning and everything. And we're watching this, and I was like, bro, I'm like, that kicker that's coming out, I'm like, I don't really care who wins this game, but I'm like, if that kid makes this kick, his life is never going to be the same. Yep. And then he was like, really? I'm like, yeah, you beat Alabama. I was trying to explain to him like how big it was. And then when he made the kick, and I was just like, here they come. And then the announcer literally goes, here they come. And that, I mean, those kids just mobbed the field. That's and awesome. That was just...
How did you describe it to Wilmer Valderrama?
How did I just...
No,
what'd
like, you do?
I was just like... He was like... Because we were getting ready to go get something to eat. And I'm like, no, we got to watch the end of this game. And I was like, this is big. I'm like, Alabama, you know, they're the big dogs. They're the top of the food chain. And for this team to beat them, this kid right here, he's never going to be the same in Tennessee. Right, Chris? Like,
his life
is completely altered. Like,
no, doesn't have to buy a meal ever again.
Yeah, like the Jerry Jones football life we were talking about last week when he said when Arkansas won the national title, and then he goes, I knew my life would never be the same. Well, this wasn't a national title, but that was a big moment for this kid.
You could have said to him, you could have just said, okay, imagine Bob the Builder having the ability
to build
whatever he wants around the world, but he must make sure that this tool at this very moment works.
Perfectly, 100%.
100%. As long as this tool right here works, then Bob the Builder, the entire world opens for his ability to build whatever he wants. Do you think he would have understood that analogy?
I mean, yeah. I mean, he's Handy Manny. He's not Bob the Builder.
Oh, damn
Handy
it.
Manny.
He's Handy Manny. But I thought you were going to go like if Bob the Builder was going to do something, and then Handy Manny measured twice and cut once.
Oh. You want to start over? Start over.
Yeah. No, I'm not going to start over.
It still works. It still works.
So, Rich, the two biggest games that are going to have the biggest college football playoff effect on here, we got Ole Miss. Ole Miss, Alabama is on November 12th, so the winner of that will win the SEC West.
Yes.
And so that'll get a spot in the playoff game. And then on the 5th is Georgia, Tennessee. So the winner of those two games will play for the SEC championship and presumably get a spot in the playoff. Maybe the loser gets in the playoff.
Does Alabama lose? Is Alabama on the outside looking in as we are sitting here?
They are. So they're behind Ole Miss right now.
We're sitting here in the beginning. This is when rubber's beginning to meet the road, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Wow. That was a big play. Georgia does not have the same schedule. They just don't. I'm sorry.
I'll tell you why.
You take a look at Georgia's schedule. You take a look at Alabama's schedule.
Let me tell you why. It's because the SEC East is not as strong as the SEC West.
I got to fix this.
Well, they're adding Oklahoma and Texas. So Texas will be stronger.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Okay.
Also, Ole Miss is the best they've maybe ever been.
We got to get Charles Davis on. You know what we should do? Two of my favorite people. We need to get Charles Davis and Daniel Jeremiah on to talk about Tennessee volunteer football and San Diego Padre baseball. Because whatever the volunteer fans felt like beating Alabama, the Padres fans knocking the Dodgers out.
Yeah, that's big time.
We were having
some
debate.
Fan bases that got to really enjoy their big ass moments this weekend.
So my friends, we were
Jets
talking about
as well,
this.
And the Packers are not a natural rival.
Saturday night, what would have been the more fun place to be in? San Diego after the Padres eliminated the
gas
Dodgers.
Gas lamp?
Or Knoxville after that?
I think you got to go Knoxville. You always got to go college campus.
Yeah.
San Diego though is pretty nice.
Everybody cared, I bet.
Did they throw anything in the ocean there?
But the thing is, coming into those games...
did they take a foul
maybe
pole?
Maybe not.
Did they take the right field foul pole out of the ground? Remove it. Go all the way to that bridge and throw it off the bridge.
The Coronado Bridge.
They're going to save that for the Super Bowl. No, I mean, the World Series.
They didn't do that, did they?
No.
But I will say, before this series, we were thinking that's going to be 60-40 Dodger fans in San Diego. No, it was like 99-1. It was Padres fans showed up for those games, and it really made a difference.
How do you think Fernando Tatis is feeling right now?
Well, he's got all his money.
A little FOMO.
Still, so,
I guess he's counting his stacks for this FOMO.
Probably a little FOMO.
There's an F pile, an O pile,
and I didn't do this in Overreaction Monday, but do you think this cost Dave Roberts his gig?
It's not. He's signed. He's not. He's coming
so
back.
So what?
The defending World Series champion.
Coming back. Because what he does is he does what management tells him to do.
He does what he does. He blows it
in
the playoffs is what he does.
It's not his...
Chris, you earn kind of some leeway when you win a championship.
He has an asterisk title from 2020.
Aaron Boone on Saturday, livid that they brought in Clark Schmidt in the ninth inning. They brought in a guy named Clark Schmidt that nobody's really ever heard of outside of watching Yankee games, to try and nail down that game three in the ninth inning. It was the first time the Yankees had ever lost. And like, I think their record is now like 167-1 when taking a 2+ run lead into the ninth inning of a postseason game. It was their first ever such loss in the history of the franchise. And Clark Schmidt's on the mound and not Clay Holmes. And Aaron Boone says Clay Holmes wasn't going to pitch tonight anyway. We weren't going to pitch him unless it was an emergency situation. And my thought was, like, if two on and two out in game three of a 5-game series on the road with a 2-run lead is not an emergency, must somebody's hair literally be on fire to reach that level of emergency? But then I'm sitting back there, and I even tweeted that out. And I thought to myself, I shouldn't have tweeted out, because I'm sure Cashman and the rest of the intelligentsia sat down in some hotel in some hotel room or business room, suite in Cleveland, and said, he ain't pitching tonight. He's down. Unless some 18-inning affair comes, like we saw in Seattle, occurs. And Roberts does that. Whatever they tell him, he does. And he's really good at that.
Oh, really good at just following directions?
Yes, which is what most managers are now. Scott Service, he puts in Robbie Ray to take on Yordan Alvarez because it was a plan. That was our plan. We talked about our plan. We had a plan.
But you literally have the best roster maybe since the 30s.
And Scott Service.
And they lose.
And Scott Service isn't going to lose his job. You know why? Because they told him Robbie Ray goes in that situation.
But they also weren't supposed to be here. The Dodgers are supposed to win the World Series and go and dominate everyone. Mm. And they absolutely choked harder than we've seen a baseball team do in a very long time. Usually that gets people fired.
Well, then maybe it should be everybody who puts that roster together and tells Dave Roberts what to do.
Man, you love nothing more than to get somebody fired from their job.
That's this guy right here.
Holy cow, you want everybody fired.
When you're supposed to win the World Series and you tell everyone in the free world that you're going to in March, you lose your job when you lose in the first round.
He's going to take a week off if Kyle Shanahan ever loses his job in San Francisco.
I am going to go on a celebratory tour. You're going to see me everywhere.
All right.
He's not good.
Well, joining us on this program is on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line. When you open up a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van, you're opening up more than just doors. You're unlocking potential, the potential to do your own thing and be your own boss and steer your own success and blaze your own trail. Each and every Sprinter van is built, designed, and equipped to let you hit the open road to take on any goal you set, to help you follow your own passions and reawaken that spirit of adventure and check all those big, bold, fun, and exciting experiences right off your bucket list. Owning a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van lets you live, work, and play out your dreams no matter how far off the beaten path they'll take you. And with 16 body types, your choice of a gas or diesel engine, and thousands of ways to customize, a Sprinter van is capable and versatile enough to help you drive your ambitions wherever you want to take them. So now's the time to discover what it is that moves you most. Don't wait. Unlock your potential inside a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter. Spoke over the weekend to Russell Wilson. He's playing a football game tonight, pretty darn big one, after starting 2-3 in Denver. There's a lot going on with the Broncos, as we all know, and here's our conversation. Joining me here in advance of Monday Night Football, taking a visit to the Los Angeles Chargers, is the quarterback of the Denver Broncos, Pro Bowler Russell Wilson. How are you, Russell Wilson?
Rich, what's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. It's kind of unbelievable, Russ, that you're going to SoFi Stadium first of two times this year. You're playing the NFC West. It seems like you can't quit your old haunting grounds, you know?
Yeah, man. To go to LA and playing the Chargers, it's going to be a great environment, obviously. I think also, too, what a great matchup. I mean, obviously, versus the Chargers and LA, AFC West, you know, it's a big game. We need this one, obviously, to make it 3-3 and then keep going. So it's going to be a great matchup. We're excited about it.
How much of a challenge career-wise, just in your entire career, has the first 5 weeks been for you, Russell Wilson?
I think it's been great. You know, it's not been in terms of adversity. I love adversity. And, you know, everything hasn't gone as you want it to. You know, we could be, you know, 5-0 or 4-1, you know, probably. But, you know, we're right there. You know, I think we have to capitalize. You know, we've been in third and long way too much this season. And I think to be able to overcome these obstacles, I think a lot of times, you know, to be honest with you, Rich, as you know, played a great game against the Vegas Raiders, you know, but we didn't get to win that one. And then, you know, next game doesn't go the way we want. And then everybody's talking about you. So that's just how the way of the world is. You know, it's like, yeah, I think that it's like my favorite Earth, Wind, and Fire song, The Way of the World. You know, the world grows cold quickly. But, you know, the good thing is that you know, I'm built for it.
I heard you say that you're built for it. How are you? What do you mean when you say that, Russell?
I don't waver. I don't waver off of people's opinions. I never needed people's thoughts or opinions to motivate me. You know, I think at the end of the day, I think greatness is built over a long period of time, and greatness is built through adversity. You know, it's easy to keep going when things are going great in your way, and it has a lot of times throughout my career. But I've also had tough times too. You know, and every time that's been tough, I've always overcome it. You know, been able to overcome a lot of obstacles, a lot of situations, been able to soar at the highest level, and also, you know, be in the valley at times and come and keep climbing. And you know, I've, you know, been fortunate to win a Super Bowl, been fortunate to be on the 1 yard line and not work. You know, so, you know, everybody thought that I wouldn't be able to keep going then, and I've been turning ever since. You know, so what's it different now? And so I think for me, what I'm grateful for is just some of the amazing teammates I've had that, from the past, you know, that have encouraged me, hit me up, you know, guys like, you know, Bobby and DK and Tyler's of the worlds, Jamal Adams, you know, Cliff Averill's, you know, Marshawn's comments the other day, man, meant the world to me. You know, you got some amazing teammates, guys like Dwayne Brown to play with, but then I got guys on my team now that have been exceptional. You know, they know what I bring to the table. They know what we're capable of as a collective group, as a team, guys like Justin Simmons and K-Jack and Chubb and these guys, Randy Gregory, and just, you know, these guys, you know, just so many amazing people, you know, Cortland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy. I mean, we believe, you know, and we believe in everything that's going to happen. We've had some really, you know, good moments, and we've had some tough ones along the way. That's, you know, that's expected a little bit, you know, to know that there's going to be some challenges, but I don't ever shy away from challenge. You know, it's never been me.
Russell Wilson here prior to Monday Night Football. Can you give me a little bit more of a glimpse of, you said Bobby, obviously that's Bobby Wagner, who on the same day of your acquisition by Denver was cut by the Seahawks. And what have they said to you, some of your former teammates, if you wouldn't be willing to share a little bit more about that, Russell?
I don't need to say too much, but it just reminded me, you know, keep reminding me of, you know, of who I am and what I've done and where I'm going. You know, these guys are, you know, amazing teammates, and how much love we all have for each other and everything else, the guys I'm with now too. And so it's, what a blessing, you know, just to have some guys I've played with that just mean the world to me, and great competitors too. I think also, you know, more than anything else though, Rich, You got to believe in you. You got to believe in you. I think no matter what we go through in life, no matter if it's sports, no matter if it's, job opportunities, no matter, relationships, family, no matter if it's, I go to the hospital every Tuesday and see kids that have cancer, and, you know, just, you got to believe in you. You know, you got to believe in you. You got to believe that no matter what your circumstances are, you know, and that's what those young kids have taught me so much, you know, and no matter what the circumstances are, you know, deep, can you keep believing in the midst of people talking about you, people, you know, this or that, or, you know, can you keep believing yourself when things are going great, you know, and do you always, you know, stay focused on what needs to be focused on? And so for me, I've always believed in, you know, starving the distractions and feeding my focus. And that's just my mindset.
One last question about the last 5 weeks before moving and turning the page to Monday Night Football. So many, you know, folks offering their two cents as to what's off, what's quote unquote off, because we're not used to watching you struggle in an offense in a way that generally the Broncos have so far, Russell. And the thoughts go from Sean Payton saying, you know, if I was there, I'd cut up a whole bunch of clips of him succeeding in long yardage situations and red zone situations, and I'd ask him for what makes him comfortable. And then there's other comments that Nathaniel Hackett's offense is more of a timing, and you're an off schedule guy. What is your opinion as to what you think has not gone to plan in the offense in the first 5 weeks, Russ?
Well, I mean, the reality is we moved the ball extremely well in the first game, you know, and then we got down, you know, unfortunately, had two fumbles on the one. Could have been touchdowns. We had a couple balls that we had in the end zone, and then we didn't get those touchdowns. You know, those could have been a few. The second game, we battled, and we ended up winning that game. Third game, we played against the 49ers. 49ers are a really good football team. You know, that was a great matchup. We came down to the wire and won the game at the end. Went to the Raiders. Played well in that game. You know, it was one of our better games for sure, and you know, offensively, but you know, they made one or two more plays than us, you know, in that game. And then the last game, you know, we should have won the game. That's on me, you know. So the reality is that we've been in third and long too much, you know, and we've had too many, you know, bonehead mistakes, and we just can't have that. So the great thing is all those things are fixable. All those things we can control and fix those. And that's what we're going to do. And you can't live in the past, no matter how good it is. It's a long season. It's a long season. And, we've been here before in terms of, having to come back and, you know, just get on a hot streak. And that's our mindset. And that's what we got to do.
And, of course, you know, you're not 0-5. You're not 1-4. You're 2-3. You have a chance to get back to .500. And that makes this a pretty big game, also in division. And so my last question for you here, Russ, is what is the challenge that you've seen on film for the Chargers, and your message to your teammates going into this big one on Monday night?
Well, I think you got to slow the game down. I think, you know, when you play these kind of division games, and I don't mean time-wise, I just mean your mind, your body. You got to be able to be in the moment. you know, when lights and cameras and action are all going at, you know, going on, can you stay calm in the midst of everything, no matter what, how good the play was before, no matter how bad the play was before, you be where your feet are and be in this moment right now, you know? And so, what a great challenge, what a great opportunity. We're all learning together, and it's going to be exciting. It's going to be exciting where we go. I really believe that. It's going to be exciting what we do. And, the only way to answer is just keep getting up and responding. And that's what we're going to do.
Russell, I know you got a lot going on, obviously, and a lot to prepare for. It truly means a lot that you say yes when the call comes in and asks to join. So thanks again, Russell Wilson, and good luck to you. And let's chat down the line.
Well, Rich, man, you've always been first class, man. And you've always been, you know, you always do it the best way. So I'm just grateful for you, man. And thanks for who you are. And I'll see you soon. Hopefully I'll see you Monday night. And let's ride, baby.
I will do that. I will do that for sure. And I'm just glad you're not showing up at NFL Network like you did all those years ago in Seattle, showing me up by showing up a half an hour earlier than I am, Russell. So I'm just glad that you're doing what you're doing. I'm doing what I'm doing, and we meet like this.
That's just because I had to get prepared, Rich. You can do this in your sleep. You can do this in your sleep.
I appreciate it. Right back at you. Thanks again. Thank you. That's Russell Wilson right here prior to Monday Night Football. All right.
Let's ride, Rich. Let's ride.
I don't know why he caught me off guard. I thought, like, you know, he did. He said, let's ride. I kind of got caught a little
even
off.
Even though you knew it was coming?
I knew it was coming. He's talking. I even had it saying, like, you're 2-3.
I know.
You know?
Yeah.
They're feeling like it's a
there's a lot of pressure.
Tonight, man.
Huge game. They need it more than the Chargers, obviously. But
I don't know. I mean, Chargers going 4-2 and having a piece of first place.
I'm saying, if the Chargers lose, they're 3-3. They're still in the mix, obviously. But for Denver to be 2-4, that's a tough road to the playoffs.
Certainly, when
there.
You see who they're playing next.
We're not looking ahead to the Jets.
It's not a homecoming. It's not a homecoming. No, I'm not.
That's true. The Jets being a homecoming is
not. I'm not saying this is a trap game because the Jets are next. In November, I'll start talking that way.
Big game today, man.
It is huge. It is huge. We'll talk about that and then empty some of the phone banks when we come back right here on the Rich Eisen Show. 844-204-RICH, number to dial.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Bleav Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, you can listen to the NFL and the NFL app on WestwoodOneSports.com via Westwood One Station Streams or by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports. If it's the NFL, it's on Westwood One. Alan Dallas, 5-1 G-Men, huh? How about them apples, brother?
I don't know. I want to see what's in that coffee cup, man. That wasn't mischief. That was you went off on a tangent. My God.
I got it.
Stole all my thunder.
No, I don't mean to. I don't mean to, but you gotta love it.
I mean, it's talk radio. You, I don't think you've ever been on this side of the phone. You know, you're on the other side now. You know, back in the FAN days, you might have been. It's been a while. By the way, another sick celebrity name drop by TJ. By the way,
yeah, Wilmer.
You know,
I forgot he was Handy Manny, not Bob the Builder. My bad.
Exactly. Look, you know. Yeah, the pro sports leagues love parity. You look at the NFL standings. There's maybe a handful of teams that are out of it, but most of the teams are still in it. I mean, even the Giants on their best day, maybe 10-7.
I don't know, Al. Maybe. Al, they got some winnable games coming up next, man. They should win. They should.
They have some.
They do.
But they're winning games that you're supposed, you know, with guys you never heard of. Nobody's they're scoring touchdowns with guys who are on anybody's fantasy teams. You know, I mean, these are facts. You are what you are, and what they are is 5-1. They got Saquon, and they got a coach who can really coordinate, and they're believed.
Well, here's the thing: the definition of coaching is getting the best out of the best performance out of the players that you have.
Right.
And this is like the epitome of coaching, because he is. I mean, you know, like Brockman said before, he couldn't name a giant wide receiver. I don't want to name one. Like I just
you keep it going, right?
Outperforming to the highest level where you want to watch, and that's all the fan base wants. You know, Brockman talked about running Roberts out of town or running this guy out of town. When you're trying to build for the future, when the coaching staff is getting the players to play hard and to believe and then doing it, and then when he has the talent, you know, delivers, that's what we're looking for, and that's why you should be motivated as much. You are inspired. You and I are both on a simpatico on this. We are loving what we see.
Damn straight.
We're loving.
It's been too long. Thanks for the call, Al. It's been since 2009. Giants 5-1 is the first time since 2009.
Talking about parity, Rich, 13 teams with only three wins, with at least three wins.
At Jacksonville's next for the Giants, and then at Seattle, which, by the way, that's no gimme. Seattle's really good.
Seattle is
good. Then there's a bye, and then home for Houston and Detroit before the Thanksgiving game at Dallas. Let's go. Let's ride, as they say.
Let's ride.
Another piece of news that came out this weekend. Our friend Peter Schrager from Good Morning Football and his other work with Fox Sports said that the Panthers, he echoed the reports of Ian Rappaport and Schefter that everybody's can be had for a price on Carolina, including Christian McCaffrey. They're listening to offers for Christian McCaffrey. Ooh. Schrager put a little bit more information on it. Multiple first-round picks. And to that, I think there's sand. And Carolina's going to be pounding it, to use the phrase from back in their day. Keep pounding that sand.
Yeah, right.
That ain't happening.
No.
Like the fact that McCaffrey's played six games in a row without being injured. Look at two first-round picks for him.
No chance.
So still, you're saying there's a town where Mo Green doesn't have a plaque or a signpost that's deciding to give you odds on where he's going to go next?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's going to get traded, right?
No, he's not. No, he's not.
Don't you want to get something for this guy? So the Bills are your favorites at 4-1. Dolphins, 5-1. Rams, 6-1. Patriots, 8-1. 49ers, 9-1. And then Broncos, Eagles, Bucks, Falcons, all with big odds.
Guess what? He's not going anywhere. If they're putting that price tag on him, he's going nowhere. November 1st is the trade deadline, by the way.
Ooh, coming up.
Yeah, the Christian McCaffrey's next team for the rest of 2022 is the Carolina Panthers.
Ooh.
No one's going to beat. Two first-rounders for a running
That's
back,
crazy.
Let alone one that couldn't finish the season the last 2 years?
I wouldn't give a first-round for him, but I wouldn't give one.
Speaking of injury news, we go out the door. It's Taylor Heinicke time. Crack open a Heinicke.
Hit him with the high.
Injured finger, according to Ian Rappaport, that Carson Wentz broke on Thursday night, is a 4-6 weeker.
Wow.
He's here in L.A. meeting with the old hand specialist. So it's fractured ring finger. Taylor Heinicke or Sam Howell time for the Washington Commanders.
I bet we see Sam Howell sooner than
later. We'll hit him with the Heinicke, and then if nothing happens, or by the way, you might actually see a better offense with Taylor Heinicke.
They have really good weapons.
That dude was playing. He was balling out. And we'll see if Heinicke can do for the Commanders what Rush did for the Cowboys, which is keep the ship afloat and moving forward.
Well, now, there could be a legitimate controversy there.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I agree with you.
That's legitimate. Just like Bailey Zappi.
Don't worry.
We're back to wrap the show on Roku in a moment. See you Tuesday otherwise.